at this point in our discussion, we need to define what are koiches and nefesh. What does that mean? What's the meaning of koiches and nefesh? We hear those words all the time, and we're going to be talking about we're going to be learning about the 10 koiches and nefesh. What do those words mean, koiches and nefesh? I can't emphasize enough how important it is to understand this before we go further. We'll begin with a very famous teaching in Sikkhus HaTzadik, the first item on the page. I want to thank Avi Levy for taking care of this. The first item on the page in Sikkhus HaTzadik, Kuf Nun Dalet. It's very famous. There are a number of other similar statements that are found in his writings, more later on by another famous Kohen, Rav Kook. Kishem Shitzarach Adam Lahamin Bahashem Isbarach. I think many of you are familiar with this. Kishem Shitzarach Adam Lahamin Bahashem Isbarach. The same way that a person has to believe in Hashem. Kach Tzarach Acharkach Lahamin Bahatzmai. That must be followed with belief in himself. Kach Tzarach Acharkach Lahamin Bahatzmai. What's a lemer? What does that mean? Sheyesh Lahashem Isbarach Esik Imo. That Hashem is constantly involved in his life. The Baruch Hashem has an inyan with each and every one of us, an esek with each and every one of us. B'she'enenu poel botel shebin laila u'kechai soy soda shalacham yisosim nevdu ve'enam. Not like some sort of like an animal of the field, like a beast of the field that after it dies, it lives and then it dies and it's gone. It didn't make a difference. Nothing changed. Nothing happened. A Jew must believe that his soul comes from the source of all life, Hashem is Baruch, and that Hashem delights and takes great pleasure in each and every Jewish soul as that person lives according to Hashem's will. So this statement of Kishem Shitzarach Adam Lahamin Bashem Isbarach Kachzarach Achakach Lahamin Ba'atzmai, we need to understand this. Last year I gave a talk about this, the meaning of belief. What does that mean to believe in oneself? But as far as what we're learning now, last week, I'm sure you remember that last week, we were learning from the Baal HaTanya that the true Ani, the true self, is the Ayin that we can't see with our eye, the root and source of the Neshama in Shemayim, which the Baal HaTanya writes, Le Nitna Rishus La'ayin Liros. Le Nitna Rishus La'ayin Liros. The eye, the human eye, can't see, the E-Y-E, the human eye can't see who I really am. I can't really see with my eyes who I am. And because of that, it's impossible for a person, as long as he's in this physical world, to be able to recognize, to understand himself bishleimus completely. And when Reb Tzadok writes, Lahamin, Kishem Shitzarach Adam Lahamin Ba'Hashem Yisbarach, what does it mean, Kach Tzarach Acharkach Lahamin Ba'atzmai Yisbarach, Lahamin Ba'atzmai? What does it mean to believe in oneself? When the Kohen is talking about believing in oneself, it doesn't mean to believe that he could lead the NBA in scoring, or that he can get the best job on Wall Street. To believe in yourself, a lot of people, that they might believe that about themselves, but that's not really true. They can't, and that's not going to happen. Well, what does Reb Tzadok mean to believe in oneself? Believing in oneself, what the Kohen is saying, is to believe in that Tzad HaNister that I can't see with my eyes. Means that in Pnimius, to believe in that Pnimius, that the Pnimius of the Ani is the Ayin, is that above in the world beyond this world that I could possibly see with my eyes. This layer of invisible reality which defines the etzem of who I am, the true ani, the ayin, the true ani, this is what's called in the writings of Chassidus and Kabbalah, and we're going to talk about this a lot in our discussions of Keser, of the crown, it's called Reisha Delo Isyada, the unknowable beginning. The unknowable Reisha, the Rosh, the beginning of the head, the Lo Isyada, that's not known, that can't be understood in this world. It's simply impossible to understand. The Tachlis of being in this world, according to the teachings of Chassidus, the Tachlis of being in this world, is for each and every one of us to do our whatever we can to reveal in our lives the Or, that light that is unique to that Ani, to that particular individual. When a person is matzliach, when a person is successful in being able to release into his life, to draw into his life, to create a connection between the ayin of who he really is and the ani of that ani that he experiences in this world, where the chelke hanefesh, which we're going to learn a lot about, the koiches hanefesh, the chelke hanefesh of who he is be'emes, somehow becomes part of how he lives his day-to-day life. That's the tachlis of being in this world. That person, in that person's life, his machshavas, his thoughts, his deburim, his words, his maisim, his actions, are coming more and more and more from that makor of who he really is, the ayin, of who he really is. That ani, that I, that person, throughout his life, is struggling to establish an authentic connection to the ayin of who he really is, so that everything that he thinks, says, and does is influenced by, is colored by, is elevated by the ayin, which is invisible, which is unknowable in its essence, which is unknowable, just as Hashem is unknowable. Again, we'll talk about that much more with the Keser, of the crown. And such a person who becomes increasingly connected to the ayin of who he really is finds himself becoming less and less tolerant of the cheap substitutes that are used in describing who I am. I am a banker, I am a lawyer, I am a father, I am a son, I am a brother, I'm a friend, and so on. I'm a musician, I'm a scientist, I'm an accountant. All of those I's. Remember going back to the first year in the Moshel of Hill Paracha, the Marshal of Hill Paracha, the one who heard the amazing song, that amazing song, he can't quite put it together, but all the other songs that he hears, he knows that just that they're not, that's not it. And Rabbi Nachman's Marshal of the Hungarian wine, that this had a schlepper, and the schlepper tasted, once he was given a taste of that amazing Hungarian wine, and that for the rest of his life, he's looking for that wine. And when everybody says, this is really delicious Hungarian wine, he tastes it, he spits it out, and he says, listen, I don't know where that Hungarian wine is that I once tasted, but I can tell you that this is not it. This is not it. So that person knows that I, the banker, I, the intellectual, I, the whatever it is that you, however you define yourself in the ani of Olam Hazeh, once you begin to taste of the Hungarian wine of the neshama, once you begin to have a little bit of an ear of that niggun of who you really are, then you won't, as Rabbi Nachman said in the story of the wine, where the fellow says, listen, I once tasted real Hungarian wine. No one's going to trick me. You're not going to delude me into thinking that that's why, that this is Hungarian wine. You're not going to delude me into living my entire life for 120 with some kind of a ridiculous substitute, some phony ziyuf of who I really am. This person can no longer be fooled. He can't be fooled. That doesn't mean that he's always successful in that war between the nefesh of Bahamas and nefesh of Lakis. He could make mistakes. He could sin. He could have a momentary lapse. There could be a lapse for more than a moment. But at the end of the day, he doesn't fall into that delusion of the cheap substitute for the true Ani, which is the Ayin, the Sherish, the Makar in Shemayim. Look at this piece from the Normali Malach. It's Normali Malach in Kedoshim. Al Tifnu El Ha'elilim. So the Torah says that one shouldn't turn to false gods, to idols. The Gemara Amra Al Tifnu El Midaitechem. The Gemara says, don't drive Hashem out of your thoughts, out of your way of thinking. Nira Perushim Al Piyakosu B'svar Shebechol Eiver Or Tnuwa She'odam Oiseh Ba Mitzvah Or Dover Kedusha. Any limb of the body, Shebechol Eiver Or Tnuwa, any movement, She'odam Oiseh Ba Mitzvah, where a person performs a mitzvah, putting tefillin on his arm, running to go to shul, whatever it is, or dvar kedusha, or a matter of an inyan of holiness, oz ha neshama shayra be'ever hahi. At that moment, the neshama has made its way into that eiver. The essence of the person has infiltrated into his extremities, into the physical, into that physical part of the person. Uksha ha neshama shayra be'ose ha'eiver. And when the neshama is enclosed in that part of the body that's performing the mitzvah or the davar shebekedusha, oz ha'eiver misnoeya mikaicha. This is rooted in the Tikkuni Zohar. Then that limb, that part of the body, is misnoeya. It's moving mikaicha, from the koch of the neshama, as opposed to the most basic level of life, which is the nefesh. Here, when the person is moving his arm to do a mitzvah, moving his lips to daven and learn, that part of the body is enlivened not just by the nefesh, which is the most basic biological vitality of life, but rather that limb, that part of the body, is infused with the presence of the neshama. Umachma zeh nireis hatnua b'chutz. And because of that, there's something different about, he explains, there's something different about how that gesture, that movement, is perceived on the outside. And therefore, he says, "Atnuwa shel hatzadikim misukim v'toivim l'rayehem." Whoever's had the schus to be in the presence of a great tzaddik, every single tnuwa, the way the tzaddik eats, the way the tzaddik turns his head, the way the tzaddik smiles, every single tnuah of the tzaddik, he says, "Masukim v'toivim l'ra'eihem," are unbelievably sweet and good in the eyes of those who are watching. Any other person takes something to eat. Any other person does this or does that. So that doesn't make any particular impression. But the movements, the motions of the tzaddik, the Rabbi Elimelech says, are masukim v'toivim l'ra'eihem. Because the tnuas of the tzaddik are infused with his neshama. And the neshama, of course, is a chelik of Hashem himself. All that is good is contained in the neshama, God himself. Therefore, when a person is just imitating his friend, when those are not really your authentic, sincere movements, words, and so on, when you're just copying another person, when you don't invest your neshama into the guf, into the eiver, so then, he says, Eidem kubelos l'shum adam. Nobody buys that, he says. Nobody goes for that. Mach b'she'ena shalom. Because it's Eina Shalo. I mean, he's the one that's moving, but that's not really him. His body is animated by movement, but he's just copying somebody else. It's not the Ayin that is driving the Ani to move. It is just imitating. He's imitating somebody else. He's just copying somebody else. So he has not drawn the presence of the Ayin into that part of the Ani, of the self. And therefore, those movements have no chayin. In the eyes of the people, people will look and it's funny, it makes, it doesn't look, there's no chayin. It doesn't appeal to anybody.
His neshama was not invested into that aver,
when he was moving in that way. The neshama was not invested into that aver. And therefore, even though he's shuckling, could be that he's shuckling, he's moving a lot, and you know he saw some rebbe that you know leans his head back and you know rolls his eyes, and you only see some white, and he's moving his hands and so on. There are a lot of these kind of rabbis nowadays, the ones that usually have their so-called chassidim slash nephews or sons-in-law send their pictures into Ahmadiyya and so on, and they have the right look, and they know the malacha from the Zayde was a real tzaddik and the Elter Zayde were a real tzaddikim, and they know the malacha, but there's no chayin, and there's no kedush. Not that they're nice people, but it's not the Zayda. It's not the grandfather. It's not the great-grandfather. It's a different thing, you know, altogether. Because it's only an imitation. The imitation is not the Hungarian wine. The imitation is not the niggin. He's singing somebody else's niggin. And when it's not your niggin, it just doesn't have that chayin. When the song is not coming from the ani, like all these performers that are closing their eyes, they'll get these, they'll take 11-year-old boys or something and put sequin outfits on them and bow ties and top hats, and they have them marching around throwing microphones singing Bag Bag Ome or something, and they have their eyes closed like they're in some sort of great spiritual ecstasy. And the rest of the shiny shoe kind of music that's out there nowadays, it's all... It's not even imitating Jews, it's imitating non-Jews. I mean, it's not imitating anything Jewish, it's imitating non-Jewish music. So what chayin does it have? What kind of a fool would be drawn to such silliness and impersonations and imitations? Like watching a puppet show. If you're a child, you enjoy it. If you're an adult, you know that it's not, that the puppet doesn't have an ani. The puppet is not, there's no ayin that is moving the puppet. It's just some guy that's standing on top of the box moving the strings around, but it's not coming from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And you can imagine a person falling in love with a puppet. A person goes to the show and sees the puppet and decides, I think I want to marry that puppet. Let's say there's a girl puppet, you know, and there's a puppet show, and somebody falls in love with the puppet. So then somebody has to break it to him very gently. Listen, my friend, you can't marry this girl. He says, why not? She's beautiful, and she's poetic, and I just love those. I love the tenuous, you know, the motions, and everything's very, very graceful. The way she goes across the stage, and the guy that owns this puppet, this mannequin, just puts his arm around the guy and says, "Listen, buddy, I hate to tell you this, but it's just a couple of strings, and I'm pulling, you know, this." The strings of this person do not reach to Shemayim, you understand? It's just a foot over the stage. That's it. Or a couple of feet on top of the stage. Therefore, there's no chayin, there's no true chayin. No normal person can be attracted to that. It's entertainment. That's all. But it's entertaining to see an impersonation, to see imitation. It's entertaining, but it can't be fulfilling. It can't be meaningful, because it's shirashim. Do not reach up to heaven, but you can look at a mountain, or you can look at some trees blowing in the wind, and it could turn your heart inside out, because the tree is attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The shirashim are very, very deep. It's real. It's authentic. It's the real thing. The tree is the real thing. So you could find that something very, very moving. You could be very, very much inspired by what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made in this world. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the big puppeteer. The Baruch Hashem, we don't see the strings. The Baruch Hashem is the one who's doing all of that. Therefore, it's filled with neshama, it's filled with chayin. Every blade of grass, we'll see Rabbi Nachman in a second. Every blade of grass is filled with unbelievable chayin. Everything in this world is so beautiful, it's filled with such chayin. Because everything, the blade of grass is not imitating the one next to it. That blade of grass
feels the malach that is giving it a clap and saying, Gadel, grow, and it has a neshama. It has a chilek elika. Not like we have, not a neshama, like a human being has, like a Jew has, but it has nishmas shin dalad yud, filling it. And that blade of grass is its own person, its own blade of grass. It's not sugemacht, not imitating the guy next to me, the blade of grass next to me. It's real. And therefore that blade of grass could have tremendous chayim. Every movement of the world that's in the world that's real, that comes from God, is filled with chayim. The Rebbe Lamach is saying, however, when a person is just imitating somebody else's tenuas, and it's not him, so then the Rebbe Lamach says, V'lahoy nishmosa be'irahi, kisha'osa atnua, v'hi b'loy kedusha. Here, for that movement that takes place, whatever's happening, it's b'loy kedusha. It doesn't have any holiness to it. It's a puppet. It's just an imitation. It's just copying. V'hu rachmon litzlan ka'avad azar. And the Rebbe Lamach says, it's rachmon litzlan. It's such a thing, copying another person, making you leave. He says, it's a type of avad azar. It's a type of idolatry. Look at these words, that you're doing something in your life, you're behaving in a certain way, you're doing something, you're making a certain motion in your life, and it's eino chelik elokus. It's not an expression of the true ani, of the ayin, of the elokus, of who you really are. The only reason you're doing that is because you really like seeing it in the other person. So you thought you would adapt it for yourself, because you enjoy watching it in the other person, so you adapted it for yourself. And watching the other person, you saw a lot of chain in that person. So because you saw chain in that person, you decided that you would now adapt that type of behavior in your life. But you just look silly. And it doesn't have any chayim. And there's no kedusha, there's no neshama to that. What you're doing. The problem is that the imitator, the impersonator, doesn't know that the only reason that there was chayim, and why did children have such chayim? There are a number of reasons, but the ikkar reason that everything a child does is b'chayim is because that's who he is. That's who he is. Once they start to see something on the television, they start to copy and to imitate, then it's already fa'falam. But at the beginning, if the child is not exposed to that, of course the child begins to imitate other people. But the kid is much, much, much more loyal to himself than an adult. All of us are just composites of things that we've picked up along the way and that we're imitating. And the chayin is missing. Children are filled with chayin. Children are filled with chayim. La novim yitain chayim. Those who are humble are filled with chayim because they don't make themselves into something that they're not. The midah of tmimus of tamim tiyam Hashem lekach. That pashtus is that person is who he is. He's not trying to make believe that he's something else. La novim yitain chayim. An onet has such chayim. The chayim of a child is that the child is who he is. He is who he is. He's not trying to make believe he's something else. He's not making believe. This is who he is, and therefore the child says things, and he just says whatever's on his little mind, whatever's in his little heart. That's what he says. I remember once that when the shul was just starting, so in those early times, my wife would try to bake a challah for every new, you know, when a new family would move in, my wife would try to bake a challah, or there was a simcha, she would bake her own challahs to give them. So once, we were still davening in a house, this little house, and we had a kiddush upstairs on Shabbos, and there was a man that was standing with his little kid next to him, and I went to say good Shabbos, and he said, oh, good Shabbos, and by the way, please thank the Rebbetzin for the challah was delicious, from last. And his kid says, what do you mean? You threw it straight into the freezer. You didn't eat it. We didn't eat the challah. You put it into the freezer. And he says, shut up. He's like, he says, why are you telling the rabbi the challah was delicious? We didn't eat the challah. I told you, be quiet.
There's no chachmas in this. So, limdu l'rishonim loy mashake. Oy vey, we teach our children to lie. But teva, the child, there's no need to lie like that. So we didn't eat the challah. You're saying we eat the challah. We didn't eat the challah. Helikim also has aldim yasha. The child has natural yashus. The chain of the child is that yashus. The chain of the child is that the child's words, his everything he does, is coming from the ani of who he is. It's a very immature, undeveloped stage of his life, but it's real, and therefore it's b'chein. It has chein. It has a lot of chein. And even the toughest and grumpiest adult gives in to a cute little kid, because it's b'chein. The tzaddikim are filled with chein. The tzaddikim have tremendous, tremendous chein. You could put on your perm outfit, and then you can grow a nice long beard and payas and put on the right outfit. It's cute, but it's not the tzaddik. It's a very, very cheap imitation. It's not Hungarian wine. It's not the niggun. You're just copying somebody else's niggun. You're just imitating somebody else's wine. It's not you. So Rabbi Elimelech says, the only reason you're doing this is ki machmas she'av atnus she'ro mechaveru v'timsa chen benev v'zeh eni yedesh v'zehi machmas ha'chelik l'kuz ha'shu yaveiver v'zeh atam atnu mesuka u'motsa chen benev. The reason that tnua of the tzaddik or whatever of that other person was sweet to you and it was motsa chen benev, because that it was so appealing to you, was because that person's ani was invested into it. That was coming from the ayin of who he is. It was coming from that higher part of who he is, that authentic part of who he is, which is from that world of the Chai Chaim Baruch Hu, of the life of all lives, of Hashem is Baruch. Avalo machmes atnua atzmi. It's not because of the actual movement, the actual tnua. What chain is there to that particular look on the face? What chain is there to that particular movement, or that particular dance of the tzaddik? It's because he's a tzaddik. Did you ever see they have a video of a mitzvah tanz by the Baba Varebi? Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
I know it's been around a lot, and my son showed me last year the Baba Varebi mitzvah tanz. You see such a thing, it takes your heart out. So now if I was standing there and do the exact same thing, the way that the Baba Varebi did, we would imitate the Baba Varebi. And the way that he would move his head and everything. So what, that's b'chein? Yeah. Somebody, what's the matter with you? Why don't you move a little bit faster? What's wrong with you? So you could imitate. And you might be doing a perfect impersonation of the physical movements of the tzaddik. But the chein, the kedusha of the tzaddik, the ani, that is connected to the ayin hane'elam. That ayin. That eye of like nitna rishus, the eye in liros that we can't see with the human eye, but somehow in a mysterious way, the ayin of the Baba Rebbe was in the ani that was moving the gartla by the mitzvah tanz. And when you watch that, you become completely and totally mesmerized. Become completely mesmerized by the chain of the tzaddik, the beauty of the tzaddik, the chain of the tzaddik. Because the tzaddik, that's him. Is not tzigemach from somebody else to imitate, to impersonate. It's who he is. And that's what the Rabbi Lamech is saying. It's not because of that physical movement, it's because of the neshama that's in that. For oisa b'loi seichel o b'loi kavana. The imitator is doing that not with his neshama. He's just it's just a physical thing, without seichel, without kavana. It's because he thinks it's nice. It looks nice. That's why he's doing it. Therefore, it's a level of idolatry. He is worshiping a physical act. It has that's devoid of the soul. He's worshipping something physical. He's worshipping something physical. That's all it is. V'im kein hu oivid l'hatnua. He's oivid l'hatnua. He's copying this tnua,
And on some level, he's an oyved. He's worshipping that tnua by taking it for himself, even though it's not him. Everybody does this to one degree or another. It's almost impossible not to. I remember Happy Days. You remember the television show Happy Days? The Fonz? Remember in those days how every guy in America was the Fonz? Everybody was the Fonz. He had that look. Now, you can't appreciate this unless you saw Happy Days. But everybody had that look. The leather jacket, like being sort of detached and cool, and nothing gets to you. Hey, you know, speaking a certain way, everybody was the Fonz. The whole America became the Fonz. It was a galacha. It was funny. If you're able to be on the outside, if you weren't caught up in that, and you watch it, it's funny. It's funny. And I'm sure you have all the Derek Jeters out there, and you have all of the, what about the Elvis Presleys, and whatever age you're in, whatever was at your time, or is it in this time, for those who are completely lost to the ani of who they are, imitations. Just without the yoidim or below yoidim. The ones who are getting paid to imitate, they're really bali seichel. But everybody else is just stam imitating. It's a bechina of avodah zarah. It's a bechina of avodah zarah. It's a level of idolatry. It's not your tnu, it's not your emotion, stam. Everybody's acting, everybody's a certain way. We would watch on Sunday afternoon, we'd watch a Knick game or something. And then everybody would go, then we would go right after. It didn't make a difference, there could be 3 feet of snow. We'd go to the public school and we'd dig out a place to play ball, and then on the court everybody was Frazier. everybody was Clyde. Everybody was Willis Reed. Everybody was the Pearl. You don't even know these people. You do? Earl the Pearl Monroe. Everybody, you had that shot from the corner, that's the Busher, that's the Busher, that's Bradley. Oh man, that was right? And who were you? You were some goofy 14-year-old. That's it. That you could make all those tenuas, but the ball never went into the hoop. You did all the stuff, but the ball just didn't make it there. Just didn't get into the hoop. So then you had to resort to getting these things that you would hang on your door, right? The fake baskets. Because you wanted to be Will Chamberlain. You wanted to be, you wanted to be Lou Alcindor. You know who that was? You know who Lou Alcindor was? Never heard of him? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You could slam dunk, but the only thing is that your mom came in and said, "You're breaking down the closet. I'm going to throw you out of the house." He said, "No, I'm Lou Alcindor. You don't understand. I'm an Orthodox Lou Alcindor. Your mom says you're nothing. You're just a yeshiva bach, and you're ruining the house. And I'm going to throw you out." But then you do backwards slam dunks, hanging that thing on the closet. And we used to do it with socks, just with socks. Shabbos were the biggest games. Shabbos were the biggest games, banging down the doors, slam dunking into what? To a plastic thing. But everybody there was the Busher, Frazier, Willis Reed. The whole chevra was in the room. How the Knicks got to Kew Gardens Hills and to Hillcrest and to Flatbush and to Borough Park and to the rest of our neighborhoods, it's a pella. But they made their way into every kid's room. New York Knicks. And then when it was baseball season, he'd walk up to the plate like you were the Mick himself. Mickey Mantle himself. You had that way of walking up to the plate. If you were the Babe, if you lived back then, you take your bat and you point to center field. Right? That's just how it is. Now, when even on the smallest, silliest level, there is some chain in something original. There is some chain in something original, but when it's an imitation, it's a joke. There's no chain. There's no chain. In the world of Kedusha, in the world of Kedusha, we understand. In the world of Kedusha, that tzaddik, when the tzaddik slam dunks, I mean in his avoid, I don't mean with a basketball. When the tzaddik, when it's the nanum, with the lulav, you know, when it's tzaddik davens, when it's tzaddik cries. You know, there were certain people that there were certain rabbanim that they were experts in saying hespedim.
I'm sure this is a joke, but they say that, you know, sometimes he would give a hesped, he would be screaming and crying, and other times the hesped was, you know, he would say it or whatever he told, but he wasn't crying. So they asked, how come sometimes you get so worked up? And so he says, no, that's a 100 ruble hesped, and there's a 50 ruble hesped, there's a 25 ruble hesped. If you want the screaming and the crying, you know, you gotta pay, it costs more money. If you want the screaming and the crying, it costs more money. Same, you put some batfil up there, and he's hitting the hair, and he says to break down and cry. This is part of the loch. He doesn't have any chain. You like the chazanas? No. But in terms of inspiring a person, in terms of bringing a Jew up, if that batfil is not in that place, doesn't do that. You enjoy the music. He's a good chazan. He can good davenin. He knows the nusach. He's got a good voice. So if you're musically inclined, you enjoy it. If you don't like chazanas, you want to die, or kill the chazan. But as far as lifting you up, and then it's interesting. Then you could take some bal tefillah who doesn't have a particularly great voice, and he might not really know the nusach so well, but he davens from that place, and the oilam is lifted up, right? Because when that ani, when the ani comes from the ayin, it has such chayim. It is such chayim. It just takes you somewhere else. It takes you to a different place. Lahavdil, again, you could see a work of art. It's a copy, it's an imitation, it's a photograph. It's not the same thing. In the work of art, in the original work of art, the ani is there. In the original work of art, the ani, there's something of that ani. Whatever that is, there's something of the ayin, hane'elam. There's something of that hidden eye that is connected in the deepest way to the root of all existence. And because of that, the painting has chayim. There's chayim. But an imitation, a forgery, it doesn't have that chayim. It's missing that chayim.
That
movement of this person who's imitating, it becomes like a graven image that is being used to worship that other person's eva, that other person's way of acting, that other person's way of behaving. It's an amazing Torah. Zohu, and that is what is hinted at in the pasuk, Al tifnu el ha'elilam. Don't turn towards foreign gods, towards idols, towards images, graven images. Al tifnu kel midaitechem. What does that mean? Chazal says, Al tifnu kel midaitechem. She'eluhuschem ashecholak lochem habarei b'chazdoi hi haneshama hakadoisha. That true das of a Jew, that elokus that Hashem is infused in you, don't look for it anywhere else. Don't look anywhere else. Don't turn away from yourself. From the lokus that's inside of you. Al tifnu kel midaitechem. Here in the Shema Kadosh, al tifnu mikem. Be careful. Don't turn away from that. Don't drive that out of yourself. Don't imitate somebody else's elokus. And then it says, Elohim asecha leisasu lechem. God of image, these images, lo sasu lechem. Perish lo tasu leatzmechem. L'sasu l'chem, the Rebbe says, means don't make yourself into a graven image, an imitation of somebody else, an image, a painting of somebody else's neshama. Don't make yourself into an imitation of somebody else. That's what it's hinted at. L'sasu is elohim asecha l'sasu l'chem. L'chem, the Rebbe is saying, hints to l'tasu l'atzmechem k'masecha b'tnuas koizvais. Don't make yourself into some sort of a piece of avodah zarah that you're just imitating somebody else's way of life. Shein behem chiyas elokus, because there's no life to those movements that you're making. There's no chiyas elokus. It's just your body is moving, but the neshama is not there. So there's no chiyas elokus. Ki im tasu bedaitechem ubekavana. Everything that you do in life, the Rabbi Lamal says, should be done bedaitechem, with your das, with your kavana. Then it's not avodah zarah. Then it's you. Lo yebucha elzar. Don't allow a foreign God into yourself. Kim tasu bedaitechem ubekavana.
The Zuhi Ani Hashem Alekeichem. And the pasuk ends, Ani Hashem Alekeichem. This is amazing. Ani Hashem Alekeichem Atzalayma. This goes back to what we learned last week from Rav Kook, it resembles Rav Kook in the Ani Begola. He says, Atzalayma Mikoch Elokus Shehi Neshama Kedosha Hashuya Bechem. Ani, when you come to that part of yourself that's truly the Ani, then it's Hashem Alekeichem. The Ani, that Ayin, is Hashem Alekeichem. Your own neshama, your own chelik elokam imal that's inside of you, that's Hashem Elokeichem. Hashem, your God. I am Hashem. When is it I am Hashem? Only if it's your God, not if it's somebody else's God. I am Hashem, your God. I am only Hashem when I'm your God. But if it's somebody else's God, then it's just an imitation. It's not your God. I am Hashem, your God. Only if I'm your God, then I am Hashem. That's the Elokus. If I'm your God, the chiyus of Elokus that's inside of you, your own neshama. Only if your koiches hanefesh, that's what we're getting to, if your koiches hanefesh are an expression of that unknowable, invisible ayin. And we're going to be spending the whole year to learn what that means, how we can connect that. But only if everything you do in your life, or as much as you can possibly do in your life, your songs, your tefillahs, your way of learning, your way of thinking, your way of playing with the kids, if the koiches hanefesh, to the degree that those expressions of the soul, the koiches hanefesh, are an expression of the ayin hanelam, of the ani, then everything that you do and everything in your life is elokus, is neshama, has kedusha. Eating, and the tzaddik eats, it's filled with kedusha. Everything is kedusha. Everything. In the lashon of the Sfasemis, I didn't put everything onto the page, mostly because I thought of some things afterwards, some places, some aramakayos. I don't Google any of it. It's just a matter of trying to remember. But in the Sfasemis, he says something that is similar. The Sfasemis and Dvarim says, Nikudosai hapnimis shel Adam. Nikudoso hapnimis. The Sfasemis, this is the main Indian of the Sfasemis and all of his tirades. That Nikudoso hapnimis shel Adam, the inner Nikud of the person himself, Ein echad yochel liftach elahu. Nobody else can open that up, only the person himself. Nobody else can come to that, only the person himself. There can be others, again, there are other people who are mechazek you, they inspire you, but ultimately the Sfasemis says, Nekudoso ha-pnimis shel Adam ein echad yochal liftoach elohu. In the Nusach of Rav Kook, in the Aris HaKadosh Chele Gimel Kuf Yutes, again, it's not on the page in front of you, es ha-ofi ha-atzmi, one's own personal ofi, character, who you are, e'ef shalashum adam ladas. Nobody can possibly know the etzim of who you are. Afilo lo shal atzma. As we said before, it's reisha v'los yada. The person himself doesn't understand it, doesn't know it. Again, that comes from Kesser, from Crown, which we'll talk about. The kal v'chayim is also. You can't know the essence of yourself, kal v'chayim, you can't know the others, who the other is. But Rabbi Nachman, I wanted you to see with your eyes on the page. Lekut Emoran, the second chel, Lekut Emoran Sama Gimel. So it's just a little piece of a bigger Torah. This is really poetry. It's the poetry of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Da. We have a Kabbalah, whenever Rabbi Nachman says the word Da, it means that the Torah is coming from Atzilus, from the highest place. Da, he doesn't. It's not by all the Torahs, but those Torahs where it says Da, you should know. Da ki Yaakov Avinu, kesheshalach es bonav aseres haShvatim liYosef. That when Yaakov Avinu sent the Shvatim to Yosef at Tzadik, when he sent them to Mitzrayim, shalach imahem nigun shel Eretz Yisrael. He sent with the Shvatim a nigun of Eretz Yisrael to take down to Mitzrayim. He sent a nigun, a song. Sholach imahem nigun shel Eretz Yisrael. And this is hinted at in the words kichu mi zimras ha'aris b'kleichem. Now zimras ha'aris of course means a cluster of grapes, the fruits, but the word zimras is an allusion to zemer, to zmiris, a song. So he said to his sons, kichu mi zimras ha'aris b'kleichem, take in your kelim, take a nigun of Eretz Yisrael, zimras ha'aris. Bechinas zemer v'nigun. Bechinas zemer, a song, a nigun. Sheshalach al yodim liyosef. Yaakov Avinu sent a nigun of Eretz Yisrael to Yosef HaTzadik. Kumesh Pirish Rashi. Rashi says, mi zimras loshen zemer. Kida, and you should know. Ki kol roa v'roa, every single shepherd, yesh lo nigun miyuchad, has his own particular unique nigun. Lefi ha'asovim, according to the asovim, the grass where he's grazing, where he brings the animals to graze. Lefi ha'mokim shu roa sham, and there's a certain nigun, a different nigun, or it could be the nigun, but it has a different knetch, a little bit different sound, depending upon where he takes the animals to graze. Ki kol behema u behema yesh la esev miyuchad, because every animal, Kadosh Baruch Hu has determined that each animal must eat certain grass, must go to a certain place in its life, and must eat in that place. Ki kol behema behema yesh la esev miyuchad shitzvich la ochla, that animal must eat. There are all kinds of neshamas in the grass, also different things we're not going into now, but the animal must be in that place and must eat from that grass. And that's why the shepherd can't always take the animals to the same place. And depending upon the grass and the place that the shepherd goes for those animals, so he has a niggin. Every blade of grass has a song. Every blade of grass has a song. Shezebuchin is Perek Shira, which is the inyan of Perek Shira that we have from Chazal. The elephant sings, the bird sings, so on and so forth. Everything's song. Every blade of grass has a Shira. Umishira sahasavim, and from the song of the grass, nasa nigun shel haroah. So in that place, the grass has this great symphony, this nigun comes from the grass, the song that is of all the blades of grass, and the shepherd who takes the animals to graze in that place sings the nigun of the grass that's in that place. Okay, a person who doesn't learn this b'aymek, say like, what is he talking about? What's that? What kind of grass has... as a song, maybe in cartoons, things like that happen. It's the Inya Perek Shira. This goes back to the Moshel we began with. That everything in existence has its niggin. Its niggin is an expression. Its song doesn't mean that that the grass is humming some tune. Everything that exists has a niggin. All that exists has a niggun. Now the question that we're just going to end here tonight with the question, because we can't go into the whole Torah now, which will continue next week. Since we just learned that the ani is unknowable, it's the ayin, it's that ayin that the human eye, even of a great tzaddik, does not have rishus to see. It's the reisha de lo siyad, it's the unknowable essence. So how is it possible for a person in this world, in the guf, to come into contact? How does he know when he's come into contact with that inner, with that song, with that ani, with his own Hungarian wine? How does he know? How is it possible? Even though he can't understand it, it must be, since at the beginning I said, and we learned, that's the tachlis of life. is to somehow connect to that ayin and to express that ayin through all of one's koiches and nefesh, to use everything in life and all of his koiches to bring out that niggun. So how is it possible if it's reshit v'lo yisyad, if it's unknowable? How is it possible if it's the ayin hanelon, if the ani is the ayin hanelon? How does one know? How do you come into contact with the unknowable essence of the self, which is the tachlis of our avodah? How is it possible? So I'm just going to begin. When a person is matzliach to give an honest answer to the question, in Hebrew it's three words, in English it's four. In Hebrew it's ma ani rotze. Ma ani rotze. What do I want? What do I want for? What do I want? Ma ani rotze. Ma ani be'emes. You want to put in the word be'emes? You want to put in be'emes la'mita? What do I want? Most of the things that we do are just imitations. A Hergel could even like the Sam Rebbe, the story of the Sam Rebbe, where he was crying because he was afraid he was imitating himself. It's a famous story. You know the story? I'm sure you heard that. There was a Simcha, and there was a Badchen, you know, somebody that was making Badchanis at the Chasna, and he went to ask the Sam Rebbe, is it okay if I imitate the Rebbe for Badchanis? That's how they make panos. These guys, you know, is it okay to do as part of the shtick, is routine? And the Sarmab says, of course. So this guy, this Badchan, starts to imitate the Rebbe's davening like in Rosh Hashanah. You know, I was lucky to hear that. A very high pitched, and he was imitating, and he went with the Rebbe like this. He was imitating this, you know, the screaming and the way the Rebbe did it, and everybody was laughing, except for one person. But the Rebbe was crying. So that stopped the whole show, and the Badchan ran over and he throws himself at the Rebbe's feet and starts to hold the Rebbe's feet, and he says, Rebbe, I'm so sorry, Mechila, Mechila, I asked for Mechila. And the Satan Rebbe said to him, no, it's I told you could do it, I'm not insulted, it's just I'm thinking that you only saw me daven Rosh Hashanah. How many times did you see me daven Rosh Hashanah? 10 times, 15 times you were with me Rosh Hashanah, and you already do such a perfect imitation. I've already been for like 80 Rosh Hashanah, so maybe I'm just imitating myself. Maybe I'm just imitating myself. Maybe this is not me anymore. Maybe it's just an imitation of who I once was. So Maitik Mais. Maybe I'm just imitating myself. But it's no longer really me. That's what he was crying about. When a person can answer the question, Ma'ani writes, what do I want? And what we'll see next week, Mitzvah Hashem, is what is it that gives me true pleasure? When a person is able to come into contact with what he wants and what gives him pleasure, then he is entering into the domain of the Ayin Hanelam. And I know that you're thinking about, there's a lot of bad stuff that gives me pleasure. Stay tuned. We'll continue next week.